Life in the city has its share of strange and dangerous things. But at least in more populous areas, there is the expectation of the unusual, and a tolerance of the unorthodox. And acts of aggression or sedition are met with swift resolve in the strange find good company. But the city is not the province of the truly bizarre. The weirdest things brew where people have room to roam, under the cover of solitude, into the nooks and crannies that are tucked down too deeply into the landscape, into areas too secluded for the light of day to shine, or the influence of social norm to affect, or the long arm of the law to reach. This is a place where the expectation of consequence and the fear of retribution are unknown. This is where the schemers hide, the occultists practice, and the psychotic take refuge. This is where the overly curious do weird things, and the eccentric know no bounds. This is where the drifters wind up, where the addicts squat in abandoned land, or in silos, or even underground in hidden bunkers. This is where things that are oftentimes too bizarre or repulsive to believe can and do take place. Prepare your mind and join me in a journey into those hidden away places I like to call the Devil's Playground. Gelatophobia, Part 12. Upon entering the house, I saw how neat and orderly Pearson was. He lived alone, and yet everything was in its place. I saw the kitchen to the left, and I could smell coffee starting to brew. I knew from my surveillance that he would be outside for at least 30 minutes. That gave me just enough time to map out the surroundings and prepare my trap. There was a door in the hallway leading from the back of the house to the front. I opened it. It led to the basement. Perfect. I went down the creaky stairs into the cool enclave below. There was a single light fixture dangling from the ceiling with a pull switch. There was a metal pole running from the ground to the ceiling that would serve as a perfect place to tie up my victim. I set my bag down and pulled out my taser gun. I pulled my mask over my face. I had used Madeline's old sewing kit to sew two homemade gruesome-looking eyes that I'd cut out of an old Halloween mask onto my gas mask. I had cut out pinholes in the center of them to allow me to see. I went over my lines. I had rehearsed this 100 times. A sound. Then another sound. Multiple footsteps. I heard voices. I heard the front door, which sounded like an army of people came marching inside. They stormed down the hallway. Then they stormed the basement door. I didn't stand a chance. I stood there in my mask with my taser gun. They had caught me. A fleet of law enforcement agents, enough to take down a whole gang, aimed weapons at me with lights strapped to their helmets. They ordered me to the ground. They unmasked me. I felt like a rag doll as my body went limp. I let several officers keep me in place as I felt the cold metal manacles cinch around my wrists. I pissed myself. As I sat in the back of one of the squad cars, sitting on my hands with cuffs cutting into my wrists, I felt young. The whole world seemed different. I was suddenly thrust into a hyper-reality. The blue and red lights were flashing outside in complete silence. I had a momentary glimpse of reality, at least a reality that I'd left behind a long time ago. I felt shame. I saw my conspirators, one by one, converging on Pearson's property. They were talking with the officers, and then the meerkat turned to look at me. Then the rest of them turned to look at me. I averted my gaze and closed my eyes. I drifted out of consciousness. I woke to the jarring sound of the door opening. I felt a set of arms pulling at me.
Come on, let's go.
I didn't resist. I followed orders. I looked around as I got out of the car and we were still in Pearson's driveway.
We're taking you in for evaluation.
They laid me down on a gurney and wheeled me into the back of a red ambulance. The paramedics had arrived. As soon as I got in, they shoved another sort of mask over my nose and mouth. I went out like a light. I woke up in a padded room. I couldn't move my arms. I could barely move my legs. I started to panic. I began screaming. Screaming at the top of my lungs. I saw a candle in the corner of the room near the ceiling. I began to scream at it. I let out a stream of obscenities as I struggled with the restraints that were preventing me from using my arms. I blacked out. When I came to, I was on the floor in my room. I moved my fingers and looked down at them. I was free. My right hand felt sticky, and I could see from the empty glass next to it that I'd spilled a drink on the ground. What the fuck? I looked around the room and noticed that there were dozens, if not hundreds, of sticky notes plastered all over the place. There was one near the window. I pulled myself up off the ground to read it. It read,
"You are not going crazy. Pearson knows. They all know."
I felt a flush of heat come over my face as my heart started to pound. I scrambled to gather and read all the other notes. The one near the door read,
"The mask will protect your thoughts from their prying minds."
Another one near the door read,
"Go downstairs and refresh your drink. I know you spilled it."
I took my thermos and went downstairs. My anxiety level was peaking. I opened the fridge and filled my thermos, and I saw another note inside the refrigerator. It read,
"You are safe. Don't worry. I know you very well, and I'm here to protect you. You're safe."
I took the thermos upstairs and started drinking my elixir right away. I felt nauseous and uneasy. But at least I wasn't in custody, or in that padded room. I finished two drinks very quickly and calmed down. I went over to the bed to get some proper rest. As I peeled back the cover and the sheets, I felt a big wave of relief wash over my body. I laid back and pressed my head into the cool pillow. As I rolled over with a sigh, I felt another note crumple against my cheek. It read,
"Everything you just experienced was a fantasy. This has happened to you before. You are sick. You are safe. But you are very sick. You need rest."
The notes were in my own handwriting. The realization began to sink in. None of this had really happened.
So this is insanity.
I drifted off to sleep. Or would I drift off into another nightmare?
Visit us directly online at thedevilsplaygroundshow.com. Subscribe to the Devil's Playground podcast to stay tuned at anchor.fm/thedevilsplayground. And visit our merchandise store at tinyurl.com/thedevilsplaygroundstore. You've been listening to The Devil's Playground.